Welcome to the Dare to Multiply podcast. On this podcast, we help passionate Jesus followers become courageous, obedient disciples who impact their communities for the kingdom of God. I'm your host, Cynthia Anderson, a disciple multiplication coach and trainer. I'm going to show you how to make and multiply disciples in your area. God's got great things ahead for you. Let's dare to multiply.
What do you do when disciples lack commitment? At the beginning, lots of people come to your group, but slowly that begins to fade, their excitement goes down, and after a while you just have a handful of people. That's what we're going to be talking about today on the Dare to Multiply podcast. We'll be right back with that in just a moment.
Are you busy but not seeing the fruit you long for? Dissatisfied with your present level of impact on those around you? Are frustrated with traditional methods of discipleship that don't seem to be effective? If so, the Getting Started in Disciple Making Movements course may be just what you need. Inside the Getting Started program, you'll get access to a step-by-step proven approach to making and multiplying disciples. Not only will you receive 25 short and practical video teachings spread out over 6 modules, but you'll have a chance to connect with others for group coaching via our monthly Zoom calls. And even more importantly, you'll become part of a global community of like-minded people from all over the world who are passionately committed to following Jesus and impacting others around them. If you want to get unstuck and begin moving forward as a disciple who makes disciples, I encourage you to go to courses.dmmsfrontiermissions.com. and sign up for this powerful program today. And now to today's episode.
All right, let's dive into this. So this question came in from Dan Gonti. I'm not quite sure where he's from, somewhere in Africa. And he wrote this. He said, I am facing challenges with new disciples who are not attending the service. How do we motivate them? We started with 7 of them, and then they were interested and they grew to 12, but now we're down to 5 people. What's the problem? Dan asked. Well, Dan, I'm so glad you wrote in with that question. And this is a common problem that I think a lot of people start, you know, they face. They get started with their group. Everybody's excited. In fact, this question came up in a recent training we were doing in West Africa. How do you keep people motivated? And what do you do when the group seems to dwindle in motivation or dwindle in interest over time? And we all, as disciple makers, we want everyone to be fully committed to the mission, fully committed to Jesus and to the group and to what the group's all about. But that isn't usually the reality. So let's talk about this problem. Well, Dan, if I was sitting across from you having a cup of tea or coffee, I would start by asking you some questions. This is a little bit hard to, as you might say, diagnose what is actually happening without more information. Unfortunately, I'm not sitting across from you, and lots of other people are listening in to this podcast, but I still think asking those questions and then talking about those may be helpful to everyone. So one of the first questions that I would ask you is, what did they understand about the group when they first joined it, right? A lot of times we are not clear in the expectations. We're not clear in what the group's vision or mission is all about, why we're having this group. And people come into groups like this with lots of different kinds of expectations and needs and desires. And it's if we're not clear about what the group is, either the person inviting them to the group or are you yourself, if you're the facilitator, after they've attended a time or two to just meet with them and clarify what this group's purpose is, or actually even during the group to have that vision casting time where you mention why the group is functioning and why we're getting together to learn and grow and how to be disciples of Jesus who make disciples and impact our community for Christ. And we want to see everyone in this group growing to be a trainer of trainers, that they too can start to make a difference in the lives of others, starting their own groups. If you're not clarifying what the purpose of the group is, that's definitely something that could be an issue, Dan, in a reason why people are dropping off over time, because they're realizing this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I actually was wanting. Many people come to a group like this wanting fellowship, wanting pastoral care, wanting a social club, lots of different reasons why people might come, wanting to hear a good sermon, which when you're not, you know, offering that, people get disinterested. And I just want to encourage you to I have had groups start and discontinue and, you know, stop because the people that came when they realized what it really was didn't think it was for them. And that's totally okay. That's not a failure. It just means that you had a learning experience and you can go ahead and start a new group of new people as you meet somebody who's a person of peace, somebody that you've led to the Lord or somebody who's interested in the gospel and they're willing to call others from their oikos, from their friend and family circle, to also come and join that group and to read the Bible together and study it together. Or if you've led them to Christ, to be trained in how to be a disciple who follows Jesus and makes more disciples. So that would be the first question. What was their motivation when they joined? And did they have clarity about the purpose of the group? Another question I would ask is, are you following more of a T4T model where people are already believers and then you're discipling them, so you're leading them to faith and then starting a group with that person? Or are you following more of a traditional DBS, Discovery Bible Study model, where you're working with seekers and persons of peace who are still in the process of coming to Christ? If it's a seeker group, what you're going to do in that group and how you're going to explain that is a little bit different than it would be if they're all already believers, but mostly new believers. Or is your group all existing Christians who've been Christians for a long time but haven't ever been discipled, which is a completely different thing and actually much harder to work with than when you're working with people you've led to faith and starting new groups among them. Most of what DMMs and CPMs, church planting movements, disciple-making movements do is work with new believers or people that are coming to faith. Though DBS and discovery studies can be really fruitful among existing Christians in training them to have a heart for the lost and begin activating them to reach the lost and be disciples, it's a different process and a little bit longer process, I have to say. And I would definitely want to have at least some of the groups I start be among new believers or those that are interested in faith, because that's really where this model thrives and works the best. So if you're discipling people who are already Christians, again, you have to be super clear about what this group is all about and what it is and what it isn't as you work with those people. So another question I would ask is, how did those people come to Christ? If you're working with new believers and wanting to disciple them, how did they come to Christ? Did they come to Christ through you or through someone else? Did they really understand what kind of commitment they were making in praying that prayer and becoming a follower of Jesus? Or were you focused on getting them saved? That's something that, you know, is a typical issue or problem that comes up is we're focused on getting people to pray a prayer and get saved, and we're not calling them to a life of discipleship, to become a follower of Jesus, to embrace his way and his path, to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. We're not calling them to discipleship, and then we expect them to want a lifestyle that involves being discipled. So a lot of it has to do with how we're inviting people into that relationship. And I've seen this many times across Africa. I've seen it in the U.S. as well, most definitely, really in most places around the world. We get in a rush to get people saved. And we sometimes really should slow down that process and let them understand what it is we're calling them to. What it means to follow Jesus, letting the Holy Spirit work deeply in their hearts. Now, some people are just ripe and ready and they don't need that. And as soon as you make that invitation to become a follower of Jesus, to repent, and they're so sick of their old life that they are ready. They are ready for a new path. They're ready to walk with Jesus and have a completely new life and lifestyle. But some people need a little more time to consider what it is that you're actually talking about. And that's why these seeker studies or discovery Bible studies with people who are interested, so they know a little bit what it means to follow Jesus, what's expected of them, they're counting the cost. And when they make a commitment and they choose to follow Jesus, they're immediately baptized and they become a devoted follower of Jesus who is spreading his word with many others in their family and friend circle. So that's another question I would ask you, Dan, if you were sitting across from me. I'd say, how did those people come to Christ? And what were they invited into exactly in this life and this journey of following Jesus? A fourth question I would ask, and you know, forgive all the questions, but I'm a coach and asking questions and getting more information really helps me to help people. But is how participatory is the group? Sometimes people stop coming because they feel like they have no real role or no ownership in the group. They don't feel valued. They feel like they're just coming and being preached at, rather than that their voice is being heard and that their contributions are important. So I would ask that question. A lot of the groups that I've seen as I've been traveling even recently and watching groups function as we practice and model and practice groups in our on-site trainings, a lot of the times what I see is that the facilitator is talking too much. They're too facilitator or leader driven. A lot of the people leading those groups are people who like to preach and teach, and they maybe have that gift, but they haven't actually learned how to facilitate and draw out of those who attend their ideas and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through scripture to those people and value what they say and draw it out, encourage those people to contribute and, you know, close their mouth a bit. We need to close our mouths sometimes and let people talk and let them say what they think and what the questions they have and the answers that they have in response to those questions we typically ask in those discovery studies, like, what do you learn about God? And letting them talk about that, even if they're a little bit off track, even letting them express what they think and valuing and appreciating them for what they shared rather than jumping in with a correction or with what you think as a mature believer. Remember, our role there is to train them up to be disciples who can start groups like this. And so we need to intentionally talk less, intentionally reduce our voice and make sure that their voices are being heard. So that could be an issue if it's not participatory enough or if the leader is not giving enough opportunity to others. And there should be a real sense of group ownership that this is our group. It's not just the leader's group. One of the things we used to do to avoid that was not to host it in the facilitator's house, but to host it in someone else's house or rotate it around to different houses so that there was a shared sense of ownership of the group. That shared sense of purpose, of vision, and ownership is going to keep people more committed to being part of that group and participating in it in the long haul. A couple other questions as we wrap up here, but I noticed in your question that you wrote, you used the word service. You said they're not attending the service. So I'm really curious about that. Do you mean church service? Or normally we wouldn't call this kind of a group a service. And a lot of times a mistake I see happening, is people kind of create these little mini churches, right? And a discovery group can evolve into a house church that is full-flown church, right? Even though it meets in a house and even though it's small. So I'm not saying that's not a church, but because you use the word service, it makes me wonder if you are still in kind of preacher mode rather than making the life of the group really intimate and close and developing a deep community. If it's very leader focused and you're kind of, you know, leading worship and then preaching something, and then you have a little discussion and you preach some more. I don't know, without observing what you're doing there. But the use of the word service gave me a little bit of a question mark as to what's actually happening. And if it's more like a little mini church, traditional church, or if it is actually a place where people can listen to the Holy Spirit in scripture and discover what God is saying themselves there. I'd also ask you about what is the content? What are you studying there? Are you studying things that are relevant to people? Any scripture has relevancy to some degree, but you may want to choose a story set or a scripture set that's more relevant to their context. For example, if you're working among people who are, like I was recently in Eastern Nigeria, where there's a lot of traditional Christians, but many of them struggle with materialism. You know, you might include stories about the rich young ruler, or, you know, stories that are really relevant to their context, or find a set of stories that is really relatable and hits the felt needs in that society that you're working among. And lastly, I'd ask you, are you following the three-part meeting structure, which is what we use and we encourage people, which in the look back section has time for member care or pastoral care, where initially you're taking time to hear how people are doing. People are feeling really loved and cared for by the group. You're praying with and for one another. And that pastoral care is happening in the beginning part of the group. That can be a missing element that I've seen as well that makes people not so interested to attend. But lastly, Dan, I have to say some of what you're experiencing is just what we call in disciple making movements filtering. It's normal and it's natural for not everybody in the group to stick. Some people will move on. Some people will feel uncomfortable with friendly accountability. They won't like being asked whether or not they told the story to someone else. They won't like being asked, you know, how did you do with your action step? Because they're not used to that, and they don't like that. And they've been raised in a system that doesn't ask for that. If they're traditional Christians who've been in the church a long time, and they won't like it, and they'll move on. And that is totally, totally okay. Don't see that as a failure. I would say if you go down to five people who are really deeply committed to growing as disciples, who make disciples, to living out the word of God, to becoming more like Jesus every day, you've got a good, solid group. And a group of five can multiply, and those five can start five other groups and five other groups, and you can have 25, 30 groups within a short amount of time if those people are really serious. So the goal is not to have a big group. Let's remember that. The goal is to disciple people until they're able to disciple others, and to help them encounter Jesus and the Holy Spirit in Scripture, in His Word, and to be changed and transformed by that as they choose to obey in context of community of the body of Christ, and as they put those things into practice and God begins to transform their lives. So thank you so much for this question. I hope what I've shared is helpful to you. Keep up the good work, Dan, and all of you who are listening. Don't be discouraged when things, you know, don't always work out. Keep going. Keep moving forward. God's got you, and He's the one who's leading you in this. He's the one who called you to make disciples and multiply disciples for His kingdom's sake. So continue on. Press forward. God has an amazing thing ahead for you, Dan, and for all of you who are listening. And we'll be right back with a recap in just a moment.
Imagine a world where passionate followers of Jesus come together to multiply, transforming lives beyond imagination. Instead of toiling with little fruit, what if God's abundance flowed beyond your wildest dreams? Picture those you've invested in sharing Jesus freely, creating a ripple effect of disciple-making. In her new book, The Multiplier's Mindset, Cynthia Anderson reveals how shifting mindsets can revolutionize disciple-making. When Cynthia and her colleagues experienced these mindset shifts, they saw enormous results, including the launching of 19 multiplying movements in Africa and Asia, transforming tens of thousands of lives. This book will help you discover hidden harvesters, see church members move from passivity to passion, and release the power of simplicity in multiplying disciples. Don't remain stuck. Learn to move toward greater fruitfulness. Visit multipliersmindset.com and get your copy of The Multipliers Mindset today.
All right, let's do a quick recap of the things we talked about here. One, be sure to understand that people understand the purpose of the group, that it's clear from the beginning. Discontinuing a group or having drop-off is not failure, it's filtering, and it's totally fine. It doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong necessarily. Be sure to invite people to be disciples of Jesus, not inviting them just to get saved. I think that's something that can really affect the level of commitment that people make, is what we've invited them for. Encourage a sense of ownership in the group members by sharing responsibilities, rotating the location, or various other ways that you can build ownership in the group. And then lastly, be sure that you give adequate time for people to really feel cared for in the group. And again, don't get discouraged. Some filtering is normal, but as long as you end up with 5 or 6 people, 3 or 4 people even, who are truly committed and really want to grow together, that can lead to actually greater multiplication than a big group of non-committed people. So don't be afraid of the filtering. All right, here's your action step. I would love if this week you would think about the groups that you're involved in and ask yourself, which of these things do I need to tweak a little bit? Is there adequate ownership in the group? Am I really clarifying the purpose of the group and casting vision for why this group exists regularly? Are we really loving each other, taking enough time? Maybe it's just short, but taking enough time to care for our members and really listen to each other well? And is it participatory? Ask yourself those questions and evaluate. This question was for Dan. He's the one that sent it in, but I would love if you would evaluate the groups that you're in and think about what changes you might need to make in order to make the group function even better than it is so far. And if you've had a failure, so to speak, where a group has dissolved or a group has really dwindled, just pray and ask God to give you perseverance. And I want you to know I'm going to be praying for you as well to continue to start new groups, to continue with the people that God has given, and to keep believing that God is going to multiply disciples through those people. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Keep making disciples, and I will see you back on the next podcast next week. Blessings and bye for now.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Dare to Multiply podcast. One thing that would really help both us and other new potential listeners is for you to rate this show and leave a comment in iTunes, on Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you tune in to listen. Also, make sure to link up with us at dmmsfrontiermissions.com/blog, on social media, and please just share this podcast with anyone you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember, God's dreams for us are always bigger than we can imagine.